him a new chapter at the congregation. And recognizing that this is our first Sunday development of the fall, we'd like to begin a series of lessons on the subject of what every spiritual family needs, what every spiritual family needs. I encourage you to open your Bibles, take lots of notes, ask lots of questions as we begin this series of lessons that we look at and examine what a spiritual family is and what those needs are. The first lesson in this series will be entitled, What Every Spiritual Family Needs, Commitment. Commitment. Can someone define what the word commitment is? What does the word commitment mean to you? Commitment.
Giving oneself to whatever, say a situation, it can be a situation, it can be anything, you are so indebted to or deeply involved in. So you are giving yourself that. So that's commitment.
Okay. So, thank you. Anyone else? What does the word commitment mean to you? What does that mean? Yes.
It means when you put effort in to something.
Okay. Okay, so you give yourself, you give it your all. Anything else that you have a thought for what the word commitment means? Okay, well, let's start. So each festival family struggles today with bringing everyone to the same commitment. Yeah, all of us have different things we need to do throughout the day, throughout the week, different demands that are placed on us from time to time. And so we're moving in different directions. And so spiritual families or congregations struggle with the same battles. We are real people. We live in real places. We have challenges all over. Perhaps even coming here today was a challenge. Transportation, getting the kids together. Everyone needs to leave on time. And all of us focus on the same thing. So that's a challenge. And so the question is, what can you and I do to help this congregation stick to the commitment that God has given? God has given each of us commitments. So what can you and I, looking at ourselves, and based upon those various challenges, what can you and I do as individuals to stick to the commitment that God has given? So we're going to look at the Word of God today in that context. You've seen this, we talked about this before, that All learning, whether it is spiritual, academic, takes place in three ways, in three stages, yeah? And so we have the head, it's education. And all of us have information. You've got information coming at you at all angles. You've got billboards, music, social media, on your job, emails, people talking. You've got a whole lot of information coming our way, isn't that right? As you go through, you hear the announcement, you go to the airport, passengers boarding flight, whatever, going to Dubai, please meet at gate number 6, that's information. Yeah? And so, Matthew 28 verse 20, the second half of the Great Commission, says what? Matthew 28 and 20. Someone read that for us. There's a word that we need to dig out of that passage. What does it say?
I'm teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, at the very end of the age.
Yeah, teaching. A lot of us here can hear students. You're in school, you got teachers. Jesus was a teacher. In the Christian life, teaching. Everything change takes place through education. Yeah, if you want to learn how to be a doctor, you got to go to school. You need a teacher. And you want to be a better Christian, you need some teaching. Yeah? And so in Christianity, that requires a commitment. Someone has to be committed to the teaching, and also the student must be committed to learning. So that's the first step. All of us have knowledge and information up in our head. The second stage is the heart. That's where transformation takes place. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We heard that passage. Transformation is renovation. Transformation, renovation. What is renovation? Renovation means you take on something that's old or obsolete and replace it with something that's better. Yeah? So you say, well, I'm going to renovate this bathroom. We're going to take out all the old stuff and we're going to replace it with something new. So in our... Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. Change the pattern. So, but it starts with information. So you might have thought that I'm supposed to do this. The teacher says, no, you can't do that anymore. This is a better way. So now you've got to make a decision. In where? It takes place in the head. Transformation takes place where? In the heart. Yeah. That I can't keep going on that way. I've got to make a new move in a different direction. Yeah? And so, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's stage 2. Yeah? And that's a voluntary act. That's a voluntary act. Third stage is the hands. That's what? Application. You got to put it into action. And that is demonstration. Yeah? John 13, 34, 35 says what? John 13, 34, 35. Jesus to his disciples says what? A new command I give to you. That you do what? That you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. So, if I just say I love you and I don't do something, people got to see something, isn't that right? So love is a decision, but love is also an action. Did you know that? I can't tell you I love you if I've not done anything. Huh? Isn't that right? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrate, what's that? Application. Yes? So commitment starts with the head, moves to the heart, and must be seen in how we treat one another, right? So that's a commitment. Now, do we love each other all the time? No. No, and that's all right. That's all right. So love is an action. Love is an action. So listen, I have to love you. I don't have to love your behavior. You know, right? But that's a commitment. And then how God treats us? He's still, we disappointing, we disobeying, we disregarding, but he still loves us. But that does not give us the license to abuse it. So, these three things, always remember that. And so, I'll give an example. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, what did he do? He told them about the history, he educated them. And it says they were what? Pricked to the heart, and said to men and brethren, what shall be application? Isn't that something? Yeah. So he started the education, convicted them in their hearts, and then they said, what shall we do? And they said, repent and be baptized. And then it's easy. So all teaching is to lead towards some action. Just listening, taking all this information in, and you're not doing anything with it, it's a waste of time. All right? So, and remember, anybody that came to Jesus, they either left one or two ways. They either left glad, or they left mad. But they didn't leave the same way they came. Yeah? So when we come to church, on Sunday, Wednesday, we all leave one or two ways. Huh? So what am I coming here for? To be convicted. And then I should understand that there's something I need to change. Yeah, and that starts with a decision in the head, transforms into the heart, and we need to apply that with a hand. Three simple scriptures. I'm going to ask you that from time to time as you go through these lessons. Yeah, because this is important. This is important. Sometimes we get stuck here. Some people get stuck here. They said, I'm not changing, this is the way I am. Isn't that right? Yeah? Understood. Every spiritual family needs commitment. We must have an understanding of this commitment. Commitment is, here's your definition for commitment. Number one, something that engages one to do something. Something that engages one to do something. I want you to clean your room every week. And what parents say, keep your room tidy. That's a commitment. Yeah? If you do this, I'll give you this. So if you do something, you'll get something in return. Yeah? Something that commits or engages one to do something. Number two, it is a continual obligation. If you've got a credit card, I used to work in banking. You start using your credit card, the credit card company is going to start sending you a statement. How often do they send you a statement? Continually, until you pay it all. Huh? That's a continual obligation. Rent is due how often? Monthly. That's a continual obligation. Huh? Brush your teeth. You got this. You got this. So you know what commitment is. And if you don't keep the commitment, if you don't pay your credit, if you don't pay your bills, what's going to happen? Decline, late charges, closure of your account, bad credit, and then you're going to talk to somebody like me. Yeah? Number three, the act of committing in Webster's Dictionary, if you look that word up, it means committed. Commitment is demonstrated in sticking with your responsibility even through what? Troubling times or failure. You need a car with committed tires. You need a car with committed brakes. Huh? Don't you appreciate your car more when it stops? Yeah, the car said, listen, I'm tired. You know, I'm sick of you pressing this brake here. No. You see, it can't quit on. That's what you need. Yeah, you need to get to work, you need to get home. And so, commitment means you stick to it even during troubling times. Anybody ever been on the treadmill before? Anybody ever been to the gym on a treadmill and running? And then towards the end, your muscles start aching and your brain saying what? So turn this thing off. And you say to yourself, just two more minutes. Two more minutes. Because the doctor's saying it. I'm gonna get myself in shape. I'm gonna get off this medication. Isn't that right? Come in. What does the Bible say about commitment? And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. No man, having started off on this assignment and looking back. Now, if you've got a car has two, most cars have two things. They have a windscreen and a rear view mirror. Which one is bigger? What's that? On your car that you drove over here, you've got a windscreen. Yeah? The windshield. And you've got a rear view mirror. Which one of those objects is the biggest? Why? Why is the rear view mirror not big? Because what's in front of you is more important when you're driving than what's behind you. And you know what we do in life? When things get rough, you know what you say? Well, in the good old days, we start getting nostalgic. Now, I remember when. And the good old days were that good, really. When you had to go outside to wash your clothes, and now you got a washing machine, huh? You had to scrub on the scrub. Young folks in the world. And not all of that, you had to go dip the water in the bucket. You remember all that. See, now you just turn the tap, press a button, or we get forgetful, don't we? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. You remember Lot's wife? place for all. Huh? What happened? Where was she living? Where was Lot's wife? Lot and his wife were living where? Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angel said to get up, I'm going to destroy this city. And did they go right away? Just like us. You see a warning light on your car. You know something's wrong. You know you should go to the doctor, fellas. Huh? I should have gone to the dentist 6 weeks ago when that toothache just started. And I said, man, it's not a big deal. And so the angel had to rush them out of the city. And what was Lot's wife doing? She looked back. Why did Lot's wife look back? Well, he wondered why he looked back. All that stuff I'm leaving behind, all my good junk, huh? All that stuff you're accumulating, you're saving up shoes, clothes, you got stuff in drawers and cabinets, and the right sister hand, all that good stuff at the house, all your good junk, huh? And one day, you can't take all that stuff with you. Did you know that? Can't, but you're keeping it. You're keeping it. See, her body was outside the city, but her mind was still back there. And that's our problem. That's our problem in Christianity. We keep looking backwards. It ain't nothing back there for you. Huh? Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. Heard me say it before, you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. Once it's scrambled, that's it. You gotta start all over. Okay. But we accept that in the natural. Sometimes we struggle with that in the physical, don't we? Huh? So, every spiritual family must be committed to who? To God. Not me. To God. Psalm 37, verse 5 says what? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 5. I'm going to read that for us.
Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this.
Commit your ways to who? To the Lord. What does that mean? Before I make a decision, before I make a decision, I'm going to check God out first. What do we do? We make plans, we make decisions, and then we ask God to get on board with the decision. Commit your ways to the Lord. But what does it mean to make a commitment to God? What does that mean? What does that mean? Do we do that? Why don't we do it all the time? We get arrogant, impulsive, forgetful. No. See, commitment to God. It means to be loyal. It means to be loyal. As individuals, as people, we demand loyalty of other people, don't we? We want everybody to be loyal to us. But I'll be loyal to everybody. We make promises and we don't keep them. Yeah? I have changed careers this year. And now in housing. So I'm talking to tenants every day. Yeah? And you know what the problem with some tenants is? They don't take responsibility for a variety of reasons. Yeah, that was my problem. Really? Really? Commitment. I know all of us get into trouble. All of us need help. What does Acts 4 verse 19 say? Acts chapter 4 and verse 19. Acts chapter 4,
3. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to him? You be the judges."
So you remember, Peter and John were threatened not to keep preaching Jesus. Verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And what did they say? They answered and said, "Brother, it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God. You judge. Who are you going to be committed to, man or to God? Man or to God? If my job is at stake, and they say, we're going to fire you for being a Christian," I said, "That's all right. That's all right. Because God said he's never going to leave me or forsake me." What did David say? "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Do you believe that? Is God committed to us? You say yes. Are we committed to God? That's the question. That is the question. You see? So, commitment. It means to be loyal. It also means to be dedicated. It means to be dedicated. Dedicated to what? You're saying dedicated in work and actions. Colossians 3:17, like the book there. Colossians 3:17 says what? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says what? You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17, it says what? And whatever you do, that's application, remember application, whatever you do in what? Word or deeds. What's your word is your speech. Deeds is your action. If you're talking it, you better be doing it. Huh? Whatever you do in word or deed, do what? Do how much? That's commitment. That's commitment. Do all in the name. What does in the name of the Lord mean? What does it mean in the name of the Lord? In the name of by his approval. I'm arresting you in the name of the Lord. By the authority that the Lord has given you as an officer of the Lord, I have a right to arrest you because you have gone against the laws and statutes of this land. Whatever you do in your speech and your actions, do by the authority that's committed. And so that little voice in your head, you ever have that little voice in your head that says, "You know you shouldn't be doing that," or "You know you should be doing that"? That little voice in your head. How does that little voice in your head get in your head? Education. Huh? Romans 1, is it 16 or 17? No, Romans 10, 17. See, it's come back to now. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. By the word of God. See, you've got to hear not only in your head, but you also hear in your heart. Education. That's where change takes place. Commitment. You say, "You know what? Listen. When that little voice in my head says you need to be dedicated in your work," but that should say, that word should not work, it should be word. I just got to speak to the secretary. Amen. Word and action. Word and actions. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And it says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It also means to be dedicated in our words as well. 1 Peter 4:11. We quoted that last week. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability that God supplies. What does the rest say? So that in all things, God may be praised or glorified. You know, I'm going to tell you a secret. It's going to help someone. And this is the truth. I have learned as a Christian you can learn more from a person like what they're not saying about what they're saying. Huh? You gotta listen to people. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully, because people say things, and it's what you're not doing, they're saying more than what you do. Whatever you, if any man speaks, let him speak as if God himself. We need to be dedicated in our words. Because you're watching me, and I'm watching you. Amen. Don't we have a right to? We need to be committed. Also, dedicated in study. Dedicated in study. Acts 17:11. The Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures. How often? In that commitment? Is that not commitment? To consider whether these things were so. So they were not really committed in listening, but also checking it out. If I misquoted that scripture out there, you ought to be able to tell me, Brother Smith, that's not the correct scripture, right? It's Acts 17:11, isn't it? And then what about 2 Timothy 2:15? We should have that memorized. 2 Timothy 2:15 says what?
Study
to show thyself approved unto commitment to God. What else does it say? A workman needed not be ashamed, what?
Rightly
dividing the word. Huh? That's commitment. That's commitment. You know, some folks can quote all these statistics. They can tell you who Manchester United beat in 2018, who won the Premier League. They can quote all the stats. Can't quote scripture. Now, if you were committed to memorize all that information, you wouldn't be able to be committed to at least know something about the word of God. The plan of salvation. You want to be able to have at least one verse memorized if you're a Christian now. Here, give you one scripture for here. Hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. What's the next one? Believe. What's give me a scripture? Acts chapter 2. I like that. John 3:16. What's the next one? Repent. Give me a repent. Luke 13:3-5. What's the next one? Confess. Confession. Give me a scripture. Matthew chapter 10:32, Romans 10:9-10, be baptized. Baptism. Acts 2:38, Matthew chapter 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-16. I like that. See, I put you on the spot. But if you were sitting on the bus, you got on the bus. Somebody asks you, I see you reading the Bible. What must I do to be saved? You're going to have no time to be going on Google. No? You got to have a big commitment. You got to be ready. Just like the Bereans were. And so, dedicated. Dedicated to preservation. 1 Timothy 2:20. 1 Timothy 2:20. Says what? There is no 1 Timothy 2:20. I'll speak to that secretary again. So would it be 2 Timothy 2:20? What does that say? But in a great house. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house. There are vessels of honor. Huh? What does it say? Vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. in the great house, in the church, there are different qualities of material. In the church, that's what they sing here. There are not only vessels of gold and silver, that's precious metals, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, how do you know what vessel you are? Is Paul says they will be tested by fire. How quickly do you think gold, how long do you think gold would last in fire before it disintegrates? It'll be a long time, something it'll take a long time. What about wood and clay? More combustible, huh? And so all of us will be tested. Our commitment will be tested along the way. Yeah? If you keep reading in those verses, we won't have time for you. You can learn a lot from these verses. It says, if anyone cleanses himself with the leather, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Commitment. How long will you endure during the test? 2 Timothy 2:2. Jesus, the church needs 2 Timothy 2:2 Christians. 2 Timothy 2:2 says what? Oh, I like that. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to do what? You don't commit things to uncommitted people. I didn't say that. Paul said that. You commit to committed people. Huh? And that's like a relay race. Anybody want relay? I like relay. You see, you watch the Olympics. Relay. Somebody is the lead runner, and then you've got the anchor. And what is your job? If you're in a relay race, what's your most important task? Pass that baton. Huh? And so, I became a Christian June 25th, 1990. How did I become a Christian? Somebody taught me. How did they become a Christian? Somebody taught them. How did they become a Christian? Somebody taught them. How did they become a Christian? Somebody taught them. So, Paul to Timothy. Somebody taught Timothy. Somebody taught Paul. And how is it that the Church of Christ exists in Leicester today, in this place? Somebody had to be committed behind us. And so, will the church in Leicester exist 10 years from now? It will be based upon our commitment today. Isn't that right? It will be based upon our commitment in the here and now. If we do not pass the baton forward, we will fade out. The church that does not reach out will fade out. The church that does not reach out will eventually fade out. Huh? One preacher said, a cool church is like cool water, it won't spread. You ever try to spread cool water? And so, we need some committed people. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. Whatever we do, we need to pray on it. Lord, we want to grow. Lord, we want to go. We want to do your will. Please be with us. Give us wisdom and strength for the journey. And come what may, Lord, that we be committed to this task. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, someone once said that guidance means that I can count on God. Commitment means that God can count on. Don't say that. Guidance. Commitment means that God can count. Well, can God count on you? When I stood to the bus stop this morning, I stood there with the expectation that that bus would show up. And the fact that I'm here meant that the bus driver was committed to keeping that schedule. So, going forward, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, today we're going to talk about commitment. Each of us will have the opportunity to demonstrate our commitment. And here's the reality. We vote with our feet. We vote with our feet. You don't have to say anything. Remember, you don't have to say a word. Your feet will say everything. Yeah? Any questions or comments? Because you're looking like you're interested. Questions, comments? The church at Colossae was recognized because of their faith in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Let's read then. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Colossians chapter 1. This is Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. What did he say in verses 3 and 4?
We only stand for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray for you, because we are heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people.
All the saints. I mean, he wrote in the letter praise in this congregation. Now, they demonstrated their faith towards God and their love towards one. What did we say earlier? Love is a what? Love is an action. Love is a decision. Love is not a feeling. Did you know that? Love is not a feeling. It's not a feeling because I might not feel like I love you today, but I have a duty to love you. I'll give an example. Because you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus went to the cross out of love. You think Jesus went to the cross because he wanted to? Even though they were beaten, spat upon him, put a crown of thorns on his head, mocked him, didn't give him any food, dragged him from one hearing to another, to another, to another. Lashed, beat him, almost to the point of death. 5 minutes. But love compelled him to go up on that cross. It wasn't about a feeling. It was about an action. God demonstrated his love toward us. And so every spiritual family must be committed to one another. To one another. I have a responsibility to you. You have a responsibility to me. The early church was committed to each other in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, as one mentioned earlier. We're going to look at this a bit more as we go through these lessons. What made the first century church unique? What qualities did they have that we can look at today? In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, can someone read that for us?
All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need.
2:47, please.
Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 7 now says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. And notice they believed together in Acts 2:44 and continued how often? How often did they continue? Daily. Daily. That's commitment. Yeah? Just put yourself in their shoes. On the day of Pentecost, you had these Jews that had come from all regions to Jerusalem. They didn't have a bus system. They didn't have social care, they didn't have a welfare system, they didn't have hotels and all the safety nets that we have today. So the church had to provide for all of those needs. They had traveled on foot, their feet were dusty, thirsty. They needed to be housed and fed and taken care of. Children perhaps were there, parents. And so they were together. The early church was a refuge, also a place of comfort. In Acts 4 and verse number 23, It says, in being let go, I think that's wrong. They went to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them.
Where did they go? They went to the church. It was trouble. The church was a place of refuge, a place of comfort. The early church bonded together with one another. It wasn't just on Sunday morning. Now all the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul, according to Acts 4:32. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had what? All things in common. We're going to look at that expression. All things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as each one had need. The Bible says there was a need. Some had the ability to provide for those needs, and they did so with gladness. They are one heart, one soul, and so helping each other is a responsibility. It's a responsibility. You know, one of the greatest needs in any country or society are social needs. Housing, healthcare, mental health, all of those things that underpin society, even in the church. Community, a sense of community, a place of refuge. When I went to Sunset many years ago and graduated, the last year, the faculty come with the men, just the men, who are going to go out to be preachers. And they have them together and they say, listen, brothers, when you go up there, you're going to have a hard time. And some of you are going to get in trouble. But what this faculty, this congregation wants you to know, that if anything happens, you can always come here. You can always come here, no questions asked. We're not going to judge you. We would rather you come here and find help than for you to stay out there and suffer by yourself. Not to say we're going to condone sin, but rather to say, listen, we love, care, and appreciate you. And I think that's what the church should be. The church should be a place where you can come with your brokenness and your problems, not to be judged, but to find a place where you're not going to be condemned, and also that your business is not going to be circulated elsewhere, but rather a place where people know that somebody is going to love them. Even when you feel unlovable. You ever felt like that sometimes? I don't know what to do with myself. Life has beaten you up. You can always come here. And we will see from time to time a minister will come, an elder will come, they're struggling. They want to tell you what's going on, and they will say, brothers and sisters, brother so-and-so is here. He needs our prayers. Let's form a circle and let's pray over this brother. That's powerful. That is powerful. That's the church in Acts. That's the church in Acts. A place of comfort, a place of refuge. Now, we're not perfect. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect congregations, no perfect preachers, no perfect families, no perfect marriages. Just people trying to do God's will, committed to one another. Come on. So we're going to look at that something. We're going to have questions. I want you this week, here's your homework. I want each of us to consider our commitment to God. Our commitment, not to me, not to one another, but rather your commitment to God. How How committed are we to God? And what do I need to change in order to reposition myself to not only be committed to God in my words, but most of all in my actions?